Well, I'm thankful to be here again this morning. I want to start by saying I'm very appreciative of the Sunday school we had this morning and thankful that we can hear truth, that even in the world that we live in today, in the midst of so much that's wrong, that we have the privilege and the blessing to be able to come together and hear the word of the Lord. That's a real blessing. To us. I'd like this morning to continue with our little subject of temptation. We got started on it a few Sundays ago that we were here. I feel like that this subject is a very important subject because we read last Sunday, the writer tells us that every man is tempted. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And what did it say sin brought forth?
Death.
And because of that, James went on and he ended that with the comment, "Do not err, my beloved brethren," because it's important. It's very important that we understand that temptation is a roadway to sin. And sin leads to death. I'll try not to get too far off on this, but I want to make a little comment here. I do not want to be found in the place where the Lord grows silent on me. I had a message, the Lord gave me a message on that some months ago, where I am tempted by something, I give it place in my life, I give it place, it turns into something that's wrong, maybe I feel bad about it, maybe I'm convicted, but I continue to give it place, and I ride over the dealings of the Lord, to the point that the Lord steps back and grows silent. He did that with right before his trial. He had brought the gospel. He had given the truth. And he was being asked questions. But at that point, he recognized that the hearts of them were already set to go down the course that they were preparing to go down. And the scripture says he didn't answer them anything. And I know he's faithful. I know God comes back and revisits. I know that. I'm not trying to take away from that. But I want to say this morning, may God help us be on our guard. May He help us be sensitive to His dealings. Lord, help me to know what temptation is when I'm facing it. And help me, Lord, that as You begin to deal with my heart, that I'm sensitive. And like we heard this morning, that we would act and that we would respond so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we are given over and find ourselves in a place of sin. And that no longer do we feel pricked in our conscience. That we no longer even view it as a temptation, but rather it's just a reality of our life. Because the scripture says that temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. And so he said, don't err. I don't want to err. I want my eyes to be open. I want to have the Spirit of the Lord to help me have a vision of truth. And that I would be willing to be a Noah. That I would be willing to live in a different way than everyone else around me. I thought this morning as the lesson was going forth, I want to be in a place where I am not in balance with the world. I want to be viewed as out of balance with the world. By faith, I want to live for the Lord in a way that yes, the world may view me as completely off kilter, but as long as I'm following the Lord like Noah did, that's where I want to end up. So I'd like to start now in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and we'll try to move through this as quickly as we can. I'm not going to read through this again because we read through it a few Sundays ago, so I'm going to start right into it. And we found the last time that the temptation of Christ occurred right after he was baptized. Remember, and it said the dove came down. Wasn't a dove? I think it was. It said that he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And the voice said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And what strikes me is that Jesus himself had just been announced as the Son of God. And yet, immediately after that, he was tempted of the devil, even though he was God's Son. One thing that tells me is that none of us are exempt from temptation. Because I'm sure not in the place that Jesus was at this time. And yet, Jesus was tempted. I am going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. May God help us to deal with the temptation in a way that leads us to victory. Amen. And so, Jesus, it said, was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to do battle with the devil. And it said, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward at hunger. And I want to stop here again. Do you remember who in the Bible fasted for 40 days? Do you recall? Anybody? Who? Well, I don't know that he was quite 40 days. It may have been. He was for a while. He fasted for a long time. Maybe there were others. But the two that I'm thinking about was Moses and Elijah. I can't remember how long Daniel fasted. He fasted for quite a long time, and the angel came and appeared to him and said, "From the very first day that you set your heart to know me, I saw your need even though you didn't feel me and you were fasting." But the two that I'm thinking of this morning was Moses, when he went up into the mount before the presence of God, in God's presence, he fasted for 40 days. He went without food. Elijah, after he had received the meat from the angel, he said he went on the strength of that meat for 40 days and then went into the Mount of Horeb, the Mount of God. And there God visited him. He was in the presence of the Lord. Remember, the Lord came and he spoke with him? Think about these people: Elijah, Moses, and Christ. Elijah often represents the prophets to us. Moses, the law. Jesus, the new covenant. You can think about it. I'm not trying to put more into it than there is. But it strikes me that the law, the prophets, the new covenant, these men that represented that, they fasted to Elijah and Moses in the presence of God. They went without food, and yet did they ever live? And maybe we'll come back to that. They experienced abundant life. The scripture Paul tells us, I wrote it down here, Romans 14 and 17, the kingdom of this world is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. And these men that were in the presence of God, that were God, they were not involving the meat and the drink. May the Lord help us as we go through life. We live in a world that is consumed with meat and drink, that's consumed with satisfying the flesh. And many times we think and believe that that's what we need to really have abundant life. And yet, when you look at the plan of God, and again, I'm not trying to read into it more than it was, but the law and the prophets and the new covenant, those men that went in the presence of God or were God in the likeness of men, went without food for 40 days and were sustained, and they were kept, and they were powerful men of the Lord. May we be challenged by that. Sometimes we get too carried away with the meat and the drink. And maybe we fail to be able to be in the presence of the Lord because of that. Something to consider. But Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It said he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So we find that often the enemy will come when we're weak, won't he? When we're weak, when we're tired, when we come across things in life that we feel oppressed and needy, the enemy is quick to come in when we're in a weakened state. And that's what he did with the Lord here. When the Lord was in a weakened state, the enemy came in and began to tempt him and said, well, here's some stones right here. Why don't you just go ahead and turn them to bread? Now, I don't know about you, but I will confess that for years, I've struggled a little bit with this verse. Almost maybe a little embarrassed that it took me so long. But I have thought so many times, why is it so wrong for Jesus to turn stones into bread? He was hungry. He needed nourishment, and he was God. He was all powerful. He could do it if he needed bread and there were stones. And I was thinking about this and pondering it. And I'll tell you, this week I was getting around ready for work, and it just struck me so strong. I just felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, just because you can doesn't always mean you should. Just because you can doesn't always mean you should. Have you ever felt tempted and led that when things are coming against you and you feel you're in a corner, or maybe you're hungry, or maybe you see something that you don't like and you feel like, I can change that. I can do something to affect that outcome. And maybe it's not happening naturally. Those stones were not naturally bread. They were stones. And the Lord was tempted to take what was not bread and to turn it into bread so that he could satisfy his fleshly needs. That was the temptation. And I think sometimes we as human beings are tempted when we feel a fleshly need, something that crosses our flesh, something that goes against what we want, and we look at the situation that we are apt to feel like, I'm strong enough, I can change that. And so I will, because I can. Isn't that prevalent in the world today? If you can make it happen, well then make it happen. If you're hungry and you can be fed, well be fed. If you're in a little bit of pain and you can feel a way to relieve that pain right now, well then relieve the pain. If you see a situation that is a little bit out of kilter and you can interject yourself and change it, well then interject yourself and change it. But did you know that sometimes that's not the Lord's timing? Sometimes that's not the Lord's plan? And we are so tempted. We're so tempted to make decisions to satisfy our flesh when we see that we can. And it might not be the Lord's will. And Jesus was tempted. He was in a weakened state. He had the power to turn stones into bread. And so he was tempted to do it, perhaps not trusting that the Lord would supply his need in due time. And you will, as we read further, we'll find that he did. He was ministered to by the angels. They came and they ministered to his needs. If you read what that means, I don't think it just meant talk to him. They ministered to him. They supplied him. What would you rather? Eat stones that had been turned into bread? That would be an experience. Or would you rather have angels appear and feed you and give you what you need? I'll take the angels. But he had to wait for the angels to come. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Even though you feel like you can make it happen, you might make it happen and just end up with exactly what you just made. And a lot of times that's not really what you want. I remember as a young engineer one time, I designed something and spent hours on it and got a drawing, was proud of my drawing, and took it down to one of the old millwrights that had been down there for a long time, and he looked at that paper for a while. And friend, he studied and he looked back up at me and he said, "Do you want me to make this just like it's drawn?" And my warning flags went up. I said, "I'm not sure that I do." I said, "What is it that you see?" And then he was good enough to point out to me, "Well, here's what you've done." Well, I could have said, I can do it. I can make you do it. I had the authority to tell him, make it just like it's done. Make it just like it's drawn. And I would have ended up with just exactly like what I made happen. And it wouldn't have been what I really wanted. You see the point here? May God help us be willing not to try to force our will in situations that's not working out, the doors don't seem to be opening and closing, things aren't exactly on the timing we would like. Be careful about pushing through the door. Be careful about trying to turn stones into bread, because you just might end up with something of your own creation when the Lord had something so much better. When you're weak is when we're tempted to do this the most. So the warning here is, the lesson, when you're weak, be on guard. Be on guard that you don't push situations in a manner that is outside of the timing of the Lord. Be careful. Wait on the Lord. All right, there's more we could say, but we'll move on from that. I've been encouraged and challenged by that little account here, this temptation that the Lord overcame. And the Lord answered him quickly. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone. What I want to satisfy my flesh, what looks good to me, that is not all that I live by, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." More than anything else, we want our lives to be led by His Spirit according to His will. More than the bread that I might desire to eat. May God help us do that. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So we find here that the enemy now came with a temptation to the Lord to presume upon the grace and the power of the Lord. Were the angels capable of lifting Jesus up and saving him? Had he cast himself off? Was God capable of doing that? He is, isn't he? Wasn't he powerful enough to do it? Isn't he all powerful? Can't he do whatever he wants? So the enemy was using Scripture. This is a lesson we want to get here too. The enemy uses Scripture to try to lead us into a wrong path. And if we stop at that, and we don't have the Spirit of the Lord, and the desire to serve Him, and Lord help me to know it's that to rightly divide the Word of Truth, the enemy will use Scripture to lead us in the wrong way. And the enemy came to the Lord and he said, "Well, you can..." And he tempted him with something that was immoderate. It was unnecessary. It didn't need to be done. Maybe there was a bit of a thrill or a satisfaction or whatever that might have been associated with it, but it was not moderate. It was not necessary. It wasn't something, Lord, that Jesus needed to do, but he was tempted to presume upon the grace of God and the power of God. And so this is the lesson in that, saints. Don't knowingly and unnecessarily place yourself in a place of temptation, knowingly and unnecessarily, and then want to pray to the Lord that he give you the grace and the power to make it through that. We have a responsibility. Yes. We have a responsibility to recognize that this road right here is fraught with temptation. It's not necessary for me to go down. I can go around this road. I can either go down this road or I can go around it. And how many times are people deceived by the enemy? And the enemy says, the Lord's strong enough to help you have the right attitude through that. You can participate in that. You can go there. You can look at that. You can watch that. You can put that on. You can involve yourself with that. It's the heart that matters. All of it's a lot of that scripture, right? I mean, the Lord's strong enough to take you through it all. But why do it? What is the purpose of doing that? Why not take a different route? Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you know there's a fire, don't walk into the fire unnecessarily and then say, well, the Lord's capable of keeping me out of the fire. Yes, He is. Listen, we have enough fires that we have to go through that the Lord helps us through, than to choose out a fire on our own and walk into it unnecessarily and have a temptation put right in front of us that we're having to deal with, and then we give ourselves some sense of security by praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, now you see this place I'm in. Lord, help me now to have the grace. Help me to keep my heart right. And the Lord's back there saying, you don't even have to be here. Why are you here? You walked into this knowingly. If I know that I go back for 3 helpings of food and I'm going to get a stomach ache, I don't need to start praying for the Lord at the first helping. The Lord, after I eat the 3rd helping, I'm going to need some help with my stomach ache. Because Lord, you're powerful enough to keep my body in good shape, Lord. So when I get there, you see, the Lord wants you to be moderate. He wants you to stop. He wants you to be wise. Don't unnecessarily put yourself in places of temptation that's unnecessary. Don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't just walk out, live like the world, be like the world, and then say, now Lord, you said that it's the heart that matters, that none of this ever matters. Lord, help keep my heart right as I choose to do these other things. And the Lord's saying, why are you doing that? I don't believe the Lord honors that, saints. There are consequences to us doing that. The Lord's merciful to us, but God wants us to be careful. He wants us not to tempt His Spirit. Don't tempt the Lord God by putting yourself in those places. All right, so he fought back with Scripture there. May the Lord help us to know the Scriptures well enough that we're able to rightly divide His truth. So now in the 8th verse it says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, I've always thought the audacity of the enemy to tell Jesus, the Son of God, that if he would just fall down and worship him, why, he'd give him all these things. The Son of God. Are we not adopted children of God this morning? Did you know that the enemy is working overtime to try to get us to buy into the same lies that he posed before Jesus Christ? First, he lied to him, number one. He tried to make the Lord think. He showed him all of these earthly things and the glory of them. And then he said, you know, if you'll give me a little bit of your allegiance, you can have all of this and the glory of them. And you'll be satisfied. He was tempting him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what he was tempting Jesus with. And it was a real temptation. This was a temptation to Jesus. Jesus came down as a man, saints. He was tempted with it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a temptation. We are tempted with things like this. We're tempted with things that are pleasing to the eyes. We're tempted with things that are pleasing to the flesh. We're tempted with things that tend to draw on us and our desires and our human desires and our fleshly desires. And the enemy comes along and he's so subtly sometimes says, you know, if you'll just, you don't need to be quite so, you know, quite so strict, so unbalanced. You need to be a little more balanced. If you just give me a little bit of your heart. If you just move off, and a lot of times he won't say, fall down and worship me, the devil. But in effect, that's what he's saying. And if he said, if you could just give me a little bit, why all these things? Well, the enemy doesn't have them to give in the first place. In the first place, he promises so much and delivers so little. Look at what he did to Eve. Look at how he deceived her. You know, if you partake of this fruit over here, if you would just partake, I know what the Bible says. Well, it wasn't the Bible, but for us. I know what the Word of God says. I know He said. I know you've been advised to stay away from that. You've been advised to stay away from that. You've been told that this is going to bring you hardship and heartache and death if you do this, if you partake of this. I know that. But here's the thing. If you partake of it, you will be as wise. You'll have an increased understanding. And he began to deceive her into thinking that the benefits of it outweighed the consequences that wouldn't be good. And the enemy is working overtime in our world. I'm going to tell you it past the world. The enemy is working overtime in the church, among God's people. The enemy is working overtime to try to get us to start to sniff the forbidden fruit, to start to take a little bite out of it, to reserve and give it a little bit of a place in our life with the promise. You'll be more fulfilled. You'll be able to feel a greater satisfaction in life. You'll be able to enjoy these things that you're having to sacrifice. And what the enemy doesn't do, he doesn't show us the other side of the picture. He doesn't show us the unintended consequences. May the Lord help us to have our eyes open to the way that the enemy works. Yeah. He's deceitful. He's a liar. Have you ever noticed that there are people in the world that it seems like from a young age or whenever they get started, they give themselves to the things of the world because they're trying to find satisfaction. But for some reason, you look and a little bit later in life, they're a little bit deeper. And then you look back a little later in life and they're a little bit deeper yet. And their lives are just, they're falling apart. There are heartaches, there's dead ends, there's disappointments. And then you look again a little later and they're deeper in yet. You think, what? What is happening? What's happening is that the satisfaction wasn't there in the first place. It wasn't, yes, for a season. There's some short term. I'm not going to say there's not. There is some enjoyment, some short term enjoyment in life, but it leads to heartache. And it never delivers what it's promised. Oh, it always delivers so much more. It delivers so much more of what you never wanted. But the enemy doesn't tell you that. It's like he's out there and he throws out his lure in the water. You know, when you fish and you start drawing it in and you draw it in and you draw it in and you get that fish to start going after it. He gets way more than he bargains for when he ever bites a hold of it. He gets pulled in further and further and further until out of the water he comes and he meets his death. And we are like a bunch of fish sometimes. We're swimming around and all of a sudden we see something that looks attractive and the mother fish is saying, with a couple of hooks in her back, survived it, and she's saying, don't go after that. It looks alluring. It looks good, but don't do it. I'm telling you, you can get into trouble doing that. I've seen a lot of people lost going that way. And sometimes people think, well, how can it be so bad? It looks so good. And they start getting drawn away from the mother fish. And the mother fish said, don't go there, don't go there. And they start drifting apart and going after it. And pretty soon you look around and they're far apart from their family. They're far apart from where they should have been. And that hook latches in. And that looked so good turned into something so bad. The enemy doesn't have the answer to the void in our hearts that is there when the Lord's not in our life. It's the Lord has the answer to that. And the enemy tempts us, and then we find out, well, it's not what I thought it was. I'm not happy like I thought I was getting this. And so the enemy says, well, you just need to come a little farther. You're just riding the fence too much. You just need to give yourself a little bit more to it, and then you'll have it. And so then people venture over. And then they find, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. And he says, look, the reason why you have this problem is this. And he lies again, draws you a little bit further in. That's why we look around and see people that went from a safe place to a place far from where they should be over time. Because the enemy tempts them, deceives them, draws them away. And the end isn't good. What did Jesus say to him? He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This morning, I want to have a purpose of heart that regardless of how good it looks, regardless of what I think I can get away with, regardless of what need I feel like I have in my life that I believe that will satisfy, if God said that this is the way, walk ye in it, I want to walk in that way. If for no other reason, it's God that told me to do it by faith. There are times we have to do it by faith because we can't see the end sometimes. And in our own human understanding, we look at things and we think, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't think this is wrong for me. I don't think this can turn out wrong. And I know that I've been taught this and I've been shown this. And I know the Scripture says this, but I think in my individual situation, I ought to be okay because I don't see it any different. That's the reason why we have to walk by faith sometimes. We have to listen to the leading of the Spirit, whether we totally understand it or not. May God help us be willing. Lord, you are who I will serve regardless. Lord, if I'm the last one standing, and I don't understand why everyone's gone away, and I don't understand why it looks like that the way that things are looked at have changed so much, God, if you said this is the way and this is what your Scripture says and I'm the last one because you said it, that's the way I'm going to live. That's where the victory is.
Yes. Amen.
That's where the victory is for us this morning. Let's be wise to the temptation of the enemy. Let's not err. 2 Timothy 2:22, I think we read this a few Sundays ago, flee also youthful lust. Flee. Don't hang around. Don't immerse yourself or expose yourself or hang on the outside edges. The Scripture says, flee and follow after righteousness. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. We're all going to be tempted. Here's the difference. We don't have to enter into it. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. We're going to be tempted with things. Temptation's going to come our way. But may we be wise that we not walk right into it and give it place. Because it says, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we teach to surround yourself with the things of the Lord. Put barriers of protection. Don't live on the edge. Put some safeguards, erect some safeguards. I don't want to live my life where I'm trying to justify every last thing I do that puts me on the edge. That's dangerous. If that's how I'm living my life, I'm probably already in a danger zone. I want to recognize, Lord, that my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. I don't want to enter into temptation. I want to flee it. I want to put distance between myself and what's wrong. I don't want to be right here and say, well, I'm not doing this. I'm right here. And I live like that. I'm living in a state where I can be tempted. I'm living in a state where I can be drawn away of my own lust and enticed. And pretty soon I'm living there and I don't even realize I've been reeled in until I look around and think, how did I get here? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Surround yourself with good things. Meditate on the Lord. Read His Word. Stay away from all... We talk about this often when we preach, the things that our flesh is drawn to with our eyes and our ears and our flesh and where we go. Put safeguards around yourself. Don't put yourself in places of temptation. Stay close to the Lord. I thought about this last week. Peter, I know that the Lord had an extra work for Peter with the Holy Spirit. Well, what is it that Peter did when he was standing by the Lord before Jesus was crucified? In the face of the whole multitude of the soldiers. Here's Peter and Jesus. And as long as he was by Jesus' side, he pulled his sword out and he swiped off the ear. I don't think it was the ear he was aiming for. And he had the desire, even though it was misplaced. Jesus told him, put your sword up, Peter. But he wasn't scared to pull it out. There's a lesson in that. Because Jesus was right by his side and he was willing to pull the sword out in the face of all of those people and do battle with the Lord. But what happened when there began to become a distance between Peter and the Lord? When he allowed himself to draw back and he allowed there to become a distance and a separation. Oh, Peter could have still said, well, I'm still here. I can still see the Lord. He might have been able to justify, but that's not even what he did. When there became a distance, and he allowed a distance to happen, it didn't take a whole lot, and he was tempted, and he denied everything. I want to get a lesson out of that. Lord, help me to stay close to You so that I'm willing to do battle for You regardless of what the odds look like. Regardless of what it looks like is coming against me. Regardless of what it looks like, I might have to give up. Don't you think he thought he might have had to give his life up? I mean, he's going all these people ahead of him. But regardless of that, he was willing to fight for the Lord. When he was filled with the Spirit later, and he repented of what he did, and he was filled with the Spirit, he went back and faced them all over again and fought for the Lord in the right way. I want to fight for the Lord in the right way. I want to make decisions where I flee from evil, where I abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I want to find those places. I want my eyes to be open to it. I don't want to put myself in a place of temptation. So let's close here with the 11th verse. It said that after these things, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. There wasn't a need for Jesus to turn the stones into bread because the angels came. They came and they ministered. They were on time. They weren't too late. Jesus was true all the way to the end. The Scripture tells us that He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. And the Lord was faithful and He was true and He did not give the temptation space in His life. Did you recognize here that Jesus didn't allow this to just go on and on and on and give it space and think about it and, well, I could do this and, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if I did this. That's not when the temptation came, He resisted it. He didn't give the enemy time. And because of that, He made it through with victory. He had the Spirit. Remember, he was led of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came down after he was baptized. He had the Spirit of God. He had the Spirit, and he had the Word of the truth that he used to battle against the enemy. We're going to have that to successfully battle against the enemy. We must have the Spirit in our lives. We must have a knowledge of the Word of the Lord in our lives. And if we have the Spirit, and we apply ourselves to know the Word, we too can be successful. We too can be ministered by the angels of God. Those are wonderful places when we come through the battle with victory. And the angels come and they minister to us. And they confirm to us through the Spirit, sweet Spirit, confirms with us that we're His child. That we did the right thing. That we can lay our head on our pillow. And we can be at peace with the Lord. And we don't have to have sin part of our life anymore. I want to live that way. I want to pray always that I would be able to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Lord. James said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." I want to endure to the end. I want to be wise. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to be empowered by the Word of the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.